עם אין קמח, אין תיאור. ועם אין תיאור, אין קמח. That's the posh gives in the Mishnah. It fits with the pattern of the whole rest of the Mishnah, except for one thing, which we mentioned only in the beginning.
Kemach is first.
And the Mishnah is telling us something that we have to assume he didn't tell us in Talmud, right? Yeah. Because the Mishnah doesn't usually repeat it. So what's the difference between an Ein Torah and Acharetz and an Ein Torah and Kelach? That's true. That's one way of understanding Hagam, that when we spoke about it as a meter, we understood that it included Panasa.
Yeah, we said Panasa.
It included Panasa.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives us a little bit of a problem that the Chayyar, it's Bechlal. In Hagam, we understood that their Chayyar as being more than Panasa. But what's the specific message of this part of the Mishnah, and that it's... if it's a derivative, a further explanation of the same Yisoid, so at least they should be together. Put them together. One in the beginning of the Mishnah, one at the end of the Mishnah. Put in different subjects completely. Koch Meir, Bina Das. And then you go back to the old subject.
I
don't know if it has anything to do with the reality, but it's familiar yourself to it.
I'll
figure it out. There is a mahalach like that, but it's saying not to say it. So, what do we do with this Mishnah? That is another problem with the Mishnah. Let's start with the Beni, and we often do that. The first part, you may clear, ain't kemach, ain't toiro. So he explains very, very simply, if he should talk like Sarah Panol Sosai, then he'll have a lot of potato. And Ein Kemach means he has to be Choy Zachar Panol Sosai. So it's not going to be a Doisy Kintayu. So we have the problem that was that saying more than the beginning of the Mishnah, but call him, we hear something. What's the next thing? Ein Toyo Ein Deheretz. That's the guy, Ein Koyach Ein Toyo Ein Kemach. Kloima. There's a problem. All of you are in Kemach. I know a lot of people don't have the money they have. Ein Toyo Ein Kemach. I know a lot of people who don't want Toyo. Money in the bank they have. But also they have. So what's it mean? Ein Toyo Ein Kemach. So Ben Yehuda comes to deal with this problem. Suddenly, shouldn't change the gears because it's there. So, unacceptance of such a possibility. Mm-hmm. Open your eyes, look at what goes outside, and you see it's just it's not right. So, what's the chat in Ein Toyo Ein Kemach? So Ben Yehuda says, "Kloima ma'achash Ein Bo Toyo Ein To Elis Hakemach Oyle Biyodoi." Why? Shein Adam Moil Bo Oshrei. The person has not two elos out of his oisher, el kidei she yetzor chay gufoy mitzuyim v'yelo p'nai lasik v'toyer.
What was the first
one? One reason. She'ena moyel. The person has not two elos out of his oisher, only that he has a tzor chay gufoy available to him, and therefore his time is open to him to enter. So there's two difficulties with this mahalach. Number one is kloima always means that you have to take something outside of what the poshut words would seem to say. ain't kem, ain't kemach, l'chore would say that there's no kemach, and he was saying you don't have the tachlis of kemach. I'm trying to point out, that's what the Ben Yehuda said, change the gear, so he has no choice. He's going to say, ain't Torah, ain't kemach, mean there's no tachlis of
kemach. There's no way to,
that's claiming, right?
There's no way to say that he's talking about upstairs kemach. Nothing, there'll be nothing for you upstairs. In Torah is no kemach, there's nothing, you're gonna get nothing. Olam Haba is gonna be a fairly empty place.
That's the kemach. And the third problem, second problem with this is that L'chaira comes out that the Mishnah is telling us twice, and then kemach ain't there.
Because the first.
What are you telling me? You're telling me you ain't kemach ain't toyer. You have to have kemach and water toyer. You ain't toyer ain't kemach. If you don't have toyer, so you don't have kemach because you ain't kemach ain't toyer. Because kemach was only made for toyer. That's what you told me before. Ain't kemach ain't toyer.
The whole mission is like that. Why is it saying different?
We've been for the last few weeks. And whole mission is like that.
If not.
So the Ma'aseh Vaday, even according to the partial reading of Ben Yehuda, the second part of this part of the Mishnah is telling us a very big chiddush. We look literally, this second part of the Mishnah, there's a possibility to look at the world and Torah as neighbors. And then the first part of the Mishnah would be telling us, you know, even though they're not related, they're not brothers, they're certainly not man and wife, they're just neighbors, but you gotta live. You want Torah, there's a necessary prerequisite of being involved with something that has no shaykhus to Torah. A different sugya. It's a different, totally different world. There are two worlds. And it's telling you that the two worlds to come together here, that there's a prerequisite, there's a necessity to have the world of Kemach in order to come to the world of Torah. That was the first part of the Mishnah telling us. Second part of the mission tells us, no. Im ein Torah ein kemach. You thought that the world of a kemach is a world that lives on its own. And the chiddush is only that Torah also needs it. No. That's all that kemach is all about. Kemach exists in the world only as the brother, twin brother, very close relative to Torah. The only tachlis of kemach, the only toelis that kemach can bring a person, is to enable him to learn Torah. Well, that's a big fish, because there's a lot of people out there that don't think that way. There's a lot of people out there that have money in the bank, Jewish and non-Jewish. It doesn't seem anything at all to do with it. A lot of it would even seem to be addressed against it. So what's the Mishnah telling us? Can't get anything out of your Oishah, just Tzorchi Gufa Mitzuyin, so you can be Oishah Gitarah. You know what you can do with money? You can buy a Volvo. That's not Torah. You don't need that for Torah. But with money, you can buy a Volvo. A Cadillac, it states Cadillac, but not anymore. Or anything, you know. It's old.
Jack.
There's a lot of things out there. A lot of items that can be bought. part of the worldly pleasures that can be attained. And the main key for all of that is money. And then there's another subject. It's a thing called COVID. One thing people will spend more money on than a car, or these other things, is COVID. People are willing to put up $100,000 in a night, just so everybody should get up and clap. One night, everybody gets up and clap. Right? Make a dinner, and speeches, and then the guest speaker, and yeah, wow, right? You get $100,000 in the institution. Right? You get $100,000, that you should have everybody get up and clap. Right? Great, unbelievable. Can you know it's worth it? I know a lot of people do it. And then $100,000, and had anybody clap for me, so I wouldn't know. But it seems that people do it all the time. So it seems that with money you can get COVID. There's nothing you can do with COVID. You can manipulate other people.
Power.
Power.
Yeah.
So money is the key to them. How's it? Don't you know? What is this thing? Ein kemach means money. Ein kemach, ein olam hazeh. Let's get straight. Meaning, ein kemach, ein toyah. Ein toyah, ein kemach. Meaning that kemach is only addressed to toyah. Come on. Is that probably for real? Don't we know that the pshat is that for toyah you have to sacrifice all of olam hazeh? Olam Hazeh exists, and that's the other guy. He gets the Olam Hazeh, and we sacrifice the jaguar and the power and the covered and everything because we're giving that up for something better, for Torah. They're not friends; they're enemies. Two enemies. Right? There's the world of Torah, and there's the world of Kemach. And Kemach is going that way, and Kemach is going this way, and there's a big, big chiddush that even though they're enemies, Torah still needs something. And that's what the Mishnah told us in the beginning, right? Ein Kemach, ein Torah. But even though in Tachlis, Torah is oriented in going that way, and Kemach is oriented going that way, Alpha Pikin is a chiddush that somehow, that itself would be a chiddush. It doesn't usually make sense, right?
We have a pasuk, Ashrecha
b'Tovah.
Real Olam Hazeh, you only appreciate it
like you're Tovah. Yeah, that was a little Christian
that I found. Yeah, I've been teaching Christian after the last couple of minutes. So let's clarify it. It's not very kosher what I've been teaching.
There must be something in Kemach. I mean, why did it say Kemach? I mean, it could have said something else. Maybe the concept is that Ein Torah, Ein Kemach means without Torah you can't have something that you from which you can make something better out of, something greater out of, something that's substantial, that will sustain, that has some real meaning. Otherwise, you can only have something it's transitory, like COVID or like your Volvo, it's all and gone. But something that's for real, that you have to have Torah for. Maybe that's the allusion to Kemach, because Kemach is a particular kind of substance. Take this somewhat meaningless type substance, and from it, through certain processes, you create the ultimate food, lechem. And maybe there's some kind of a, it's trying to give us an allusion to the significance of what you get that Torah can give you.
Can I translate?
Yeah, please, because then maybe I'll understand what I said.
You're asking a very good question. There's nothing to do with the point that we're talking about right now. But it's a point that we're going to talk about soon.
Okay.
He's asking a question in the Mishnah. There are four possible words, normal approach that we could use it to say this, besides their heads, the first beginning of the Mishnah, which obviously is nothing that we're talking about now. There are four possible words that could have been used to express this idea equally. Kesef, or any of the mashalim for Kesef, lechem, kemach, chitim. If you want to talk about panosa, meaning food in the mouth, so it should be lechem. If you want to talk about the source, so it should be either chitim, or the money that gets you to buy the chitim, or the land. When you talk about the bracha, mitzilach amina, oh, it's, you don't even start by the chitim. Kemach is really right in the middle, nowhere. Right? What is that? Of all the words, of all the possibility, kemach. What is that? Excellent, Shaila. Shaila, you asked the question. It's Hashem. If we, Hashem will help us. When we get it all together. Try to deal with that question. Back. Where are we? We're trying to figure out what's this business, what kind of claim is this, that this parnasa, there's no toilets in parnasa. I'm not sure. There's a good possibility that we spoke about this subject in the past, but it's not going to hurt to speak about it again. If we find reason to speak about it again next week, we'll speak about it. We won't hurt that either. There's an old machloikis. It's a couple thousand years now. Major machloikis going on. About of clothes.
What?
This is a real machlokes. Yeah, I didn't remember yet some more. This machlokes is a machlokes about the understanding of Adam Hazir. The first place that this took place, this machlokes, it took place in a womb. In a womb. What? No. Esau, Yaakov, and Esau. They had a big machlokes about Adam Hazir and Adam Hazir. And at that point, the way resolved the situation is that they decided to make a split. And Yaakov said, okay, fine, I'll take Adam Hava, and Esau said, okay, I'll take Adam Hava. Like many agreements that weren't worked out properly to the end, after the agreement was set up, there was some room for disagreement of what the meaning and understanding of that agreement was all about. For example, if Esav is Olam Hazeh, and Yaakov is Olam Habel, and right now they're Olam Hazeh, who's the boss? Who's the Melech and who's the Eved? Well, Esav says, obviously, now you're in my territory, I'm the Melech, you're the Eved. And when it was necessary, Yaakov even played along. And he made him believe that he accepted the Shita, in order not to do a head-on collision. We have to know that we totally disagree. Let's spell it out. Let's get clarified. Christianity, the religion of Edom, Western society, the practical form of the ideas of Edom, basically, even assuming that they recognize that there is a Bible, the Yitzhak comes and tells a person, the basic approach is that you have to know that Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are enemies. They're not friends at all. They have nothing what to do with one another. Now you can take your choice. If you want Olam Haba, fine. Then give me your Olam Hazeh, because the Olam Hazeh you're not going to have. You want Olam Hazeh? Forget about Olam Haba. Take your choice. The Yetzer Hara very often gets people here, because most people are not able to fall into the mistake of saying that they, okay, I mean, there's rare conditions where it's not a mistake, but in normal circumstances, the Vayishon created us that we should live in Olam Hazeh, and we do need Olam Hazeh. And if the condition that I need to get to Olam Haba is that no Olam Hazeh, I can't hack it. It's too hard. The main job of the Yetzer Hara, his main trick, how he gets us, is he gets us to raise the standards falsely to the point that we give up before we start, and then we're totally in his hands. One of the basic ways that he can do this is by convincing us that if you want to get to Olam Haba, you have to give up totally on Olam Haba, on Olam Hazeh, and he'll always bring it to you in a place where you're really not ready to do that. Sometimes, really when you shouldn't be ready to do that. And sometimes, because you're not up to the level to do that. But in real terms, you're not going to do that. The lie, like in many arguments, is in the presentation of the original axioms of the argument. It comes at you, okay, what? All right, but what do you want? Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh. And he stuck me, because he made an axiom, he made an assumption, just total sheker, total ishitosoi, where I'm stuck. If I have to choose between the two, you can assume possibly that I would want to choose Olam Hazeh. But since for real, we're talking about real, you can't play games, I'm not up to that, or sometimes I can't, I really shouldn't, via MSP Mivata Olam Hazeh. So then I... But you gotta sign one of the two, which one is it? You giving up Olam Hazeh? You start like I'm game and he signs you on the other side. But I don't want to give up Olam Hazeh. You signing or you're not signing? Didn't sign, come on, he signs for you, sign, seal, send you down. Terrible sheker that's involved in this. Let's translate it into black and white, right? Clear. Right? What the Yetzer Hara Edom teaches is keeping Torah v'mitzvos is a steer to Olam Hazeh. Not keeping Torah mitzvahs is the way to get Olam Hazeh. What does it say in the Torah? Well, let's get it straight, once and for all. We say it every day, at least twice. Voyoyim shamoye tishmu. He didn't promise you Olam Haba. He promises you Olam Hazeh. V'im loy. As well. In b'kukoy saiteleichu. He promises you Olam Hazeh. There's Olam Haba included there somewhere also. There's Yoni Ruchnim included in the Chosai. It says even more than the Vayish Moria. But the Ikki Yehudi, a Torah in the Olam Hazeh. Because the Torah wants to clarify to us clearly, without any iota of Sefek Sofik, the way to get Olam Hazeh is by keeping the Torah mitzvahs. And the way to lose Olam Hazeh is by not keeping. There are possible that a person will be in a position where he has to see Maisa Nefesh on one level or the other. Sometimes he has to jump into a gas chamber, sometimes it's burned into stake, and sometimes he has to lose his job because he wants to be sure in the Shabbos. You see, Edom's right. If you want to keep mitzvahs, you got to give up Olam Hazeh. See, sneaky guy. Nochsh. Gets you on your own. So we have to set this straight, so I'll never confuse this again. Mitzvahs will never bring you to lose Olam Hazeh. If you have to suffer losing Olam Hazeh, it's because of Aveyos. If I do an Aveyor yesterday, the day before, 3 days ago, 5 days ago, then I may have to suffer in Olam Hazeh and be thrown into Nisyonis, so I'll have to lose my job in order to keep Shabbos. even the items of Olam Hazeh that scientifically seem to be something that hurts, they also have no power to hurt without a neveir, without a source in the Oyoim Loisishmo. We have to live as Yaakov Avinu does. His sheet of Olam Hazeh and Olam Hafer is a little different. There are two things that have to be very, very crystal clear. Step one. Telechatchila Hadavar Liyishuai is that it's never Be'etzem, the choices are never Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba, but always rely on the Jew, all or nothing. Asherecha v'toivloch. Asherecha bo'ilam hazeh, v'toivloch lo'ilam abo. V'oyoyim shamoy tishmu, im b'chukhoi saite leichu. All of the psukim, half the Torah, and 90% of the Nevi'im, come to clarify to us, total clarity, that keeping mitzvahs, keeping mitzvahs brings to having it good both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. And straying from mitzvahs brings to having it bad in Olam Hazeh and bad in Olam Haba. Why? Because Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are not neighbors. They're certainly not enemies. They're closely related twin brothers. They're shutfim. Esav, if he would have been the way Yitzchak Avinu intended him to be, the way he was, if he would have been, said he would have been like Yisachar and Zvulun, he might have even raised to a higher level. When Nasav and Ishmael would have been split up between Esav, Asiya, he would take the Nasav, and Yaakov would be left with Ishmael. They're left at different levels of how hard the shutfus would go. But Be'etzim, that he chose out and decided he wanted to make Olam Hazeh a world that stands on its own, made it that now Yaakov, you know, Yaakov and Klai, so us, we have to take both parts. We have to do Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. But Be'etzim, there's only one way to get into Olam Haba. The only entrance to Olam Haba is in Olam Hazeh. Somebody didn't get into Olam Hazeh, isn't going to get into Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh grows. Olam Haba grows in Olam Hazeh. It's produced here. Do you know what goes on? You know what this world produces? It's only one byproduct that it produces. It's only this whole grand machine. It's a tremendously complex creation. It creates only one thing. Olam Haba. That's all. Everything else is byproducts. Everything else is waste products, byproducts, secondary things that increase the gears. The Etzem Metzius of Olam Hazeh was a very, very special creation, a Olam Haba machine. The definition of Olam Hazeh is an Olam Haba machine. It's a place, the only way, it can't be done in any other way. This is the absolutely best way, best Olam Haba machine in the world is Olam Haba. There would be absolutely no better way of producing Olam Haba than Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is the proizdor to Olam Haba. It isn't. It's not the back way. You don't climb in through the window. This is the front entrance hall. That's how you get in. Anybody who doesn't come in here doesn't get in. This is the way in. This is it. It's not Olam Haba. It's the proizdor. But it's not the neighbor's house. And it's not the enemy's house. It's the same part of the house. It's the proizdor. That's how you get in. That's all it is. That's all that exists. Olam Hazeh has one tachlis. It's a Olam Haba machine. So we have to know, how do we look at Olam Hazeh? Olam Hazeh is and only is a proizdor of Olam Haba. Since it is, they're twins. They are cause and effect. The klal and prat, they're all the different relationships there. Sibu and Masuvu, they have very twin relationships. And therefore, vadai, if you're going the right way, what is Torah? Torah is a derech. Okay. A derech is a path that goes from A to B. Often, clearly, Torah teaches us how Olam Hazeh, how to work the Olam Hazeh machine to produce Olam Hazeh. That's in simple. Put it very simply, clear. Torah is the instruction manual of how the Olam Hazeh machine produces Olam Haba. If you mess up with the Olam Haba machine and you don't go with the proper instruction manuals, so then you can produce Gehenna. Because Olam Hazeh has the capability of producing Gehenna too. How? In B'chukho Yisrael Lo Yisrael Eichu. This machine can produce Gehenna. It's an interesting machine. Vayom Shemoy Tishmu, it'll produce Olam Haba. Vayom Lois Yishmu, it'll produce Gehenna. Second Chiddush is that whatever it's producing is felt immediately here too. This is all stage one. And therefore, even though Schar Mitzvah Behayal Meleko, the Schar, the production, the machine is producing Olam Haba, you're not going to see that here. You're going to get that at the end when it's after its packaging. You come out to the end of the factory, there's a place where you pick up the produce. But when you're on the line, right, assembly line, that's not the time. You don't get to eat then. Okay, that's time to work. So when the Olam Haba machine, called Olam Hazeh, is working and producing Olam Haba, so Olam Haba you're not going to get here. You're going to get it there. But the whole machine is affected by what it is creating. Just like a person walks into a factory that's producing perfume, he's going to walk out smelling pretty good. And if a person is walking into a sewer plant, he's going to walk out like a garbage man. The interesting thing is, then the Olam Haba machine is working properly. It's producing Olam Haba. It has an effect, it's already in Olam Hazeh. It's not tzchar. It's a byproduct. It's a means of getting the machine to work even better. Tzchar, look. But the fact that the machine is working properly produces what it's supposed to produce. So everything is working smoothly, and there's a good smell, and everything works great. If you misuse the machine, then it starts sparking. Produces Gehenna. And the smoke comes out. A lot of noise. It can be very dangerous. There's things that can fall and hurt people. It can become very, very, very dangerous places, this machine. This Olam Hazeh machine, when it's off track, when instead of producing Olam Haba, you're using it, V'hoyoyim lo'isish mo'tishim, then it starts spoking. There's a short circuit, and it's very, very dangerous. Very, very unpleasant. It can get terribly, terribly damaged. It can self-destruct to the point of the whole Teuchatah and everything that we've seen. This is step number one. So in normal circumstances, our approach has to be that we have to understand we do not accept the Yetzer Hara's Taina, we don't accept the Christianity's assumption. We're never be Yisoida accept the illusion that it's either Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba. It's V'ayayim Shemoy Tishmu, then we take both. And if not, then we lose both. That's the basic point. Step one. If everybody would always be Mekayim Mitzvahs, and there wouldn't be any Averus around, then this is the way it always would be. Or if there would be two camps, there would be the good guys and the bad guys. Right? White hats and the black hats, you know, whichever way you like. Yeah. And the white hats, tzaddikim, from Sheshem Ibrashis until today, and the black hats are the black hats. Right? If that would be like that, so then reality would be that for tzaddikim would always be good. The basic plan, the way it supposed should have been, if Adam Rishon didn't do the fed, is that we'd live, Olam Hazeh would be Gan Eden. And from Gan Eden we would produce Ayadei Lov, Doi L'Sham, Olam Haba. But Be Yisoidai, we were supposed to live in Gan Eden. And to the degree that everybody would always, Vayim Shemoi Tishmu, Vim B'Kori Tayyit Taleichu, even from the time of Matan Torah and on, we wouldn't need Golas, we wouldn't need Mechomas, and we wouldn't need Machlas. Everything the way it says, Psukim. We wouldn't need doctors. We wouldn't need armament. This world would be a Gan Eden. Gan Eden atachto. The basement Gan Eden. Right? Lower levels, but it would be a Gan Eden. Because all yom shemoi tishmu, then it's going to be great. Then I call you a top. But it's not always like.
Any reason? Kol Yed Tov means Bilam Zeh.
You say Bilam Zeh, you're not referring to that.
Gosh, because here, Oishir.
Big bank accounts and a lot of shifting.
Everything.
Damn Jaguars, whatever you want. COVID, power, whatever you want.
Crude.
Everything
crude.
There's no steel. Because the emes is, the more a person is capable of using Olam Hazeh, Baduz Olam Haba, Shom Iker Adin, that's a reason to get bigger peace. If you have 10 people working in a factory, and one person is a little weak, he doesn't really know how to do this business very well, so they're not going to give him a lot of raw products. They're going to give him just a little bit, and then work on it. And if he messes it up, not so bad. Right? If you bring in a big expert, who knows how to bring in special machines and produce from a little bit a lot, and you can give him the best and highest quality raw products, and he's going to produce tremendously profitable profits from it. So then we're going to give him the best and the most. And therefore, Ikir Adin, that's the way it's supposed to be, the Pesukim said. Nobody's supposed to have it better than Klai Yisrael. And that's why it is Ikir Adin. Why is it not that way? So it starts all the way back from stage one. It starts from Penosa Mamish. More tradition in your neighborhood?
What?
Is that more tradition? Last time in the tradition. Tanya Yushim Ben Lezo Ima Yomai Lo Yisi Tzvi Kai Yitzvai Sabal V'Shol Chedvi. What's going on? There's a problem. I never saw an animal had to work for a living. V'Heim Is Parnasim Shaloi Bitsa V'Heim Lo Nivru El Hashem Cheni. They were only created to be servants of mine. V'Ani Nivru Esi L'Shamish Is Koini Ma Eilu Shaloi Nivru El Hashem Cheni Mis Parnasim Shaloi Bitsa. And each of the Shamas is going to end the Dinisha Spanish Leibitzar. There's a din. Din Toya Kalvachoyim and Mochiach from the world itself. I can prove to you from nature. Then Ikir Adin I should mean Spanish Leibitzar. Just like it was Began Eden, Kaidim Echet.
We had a
call out there.
Yeah,
then we have to know that that's a Chiddush. Be'etzim, the Ikir Adin of the world is not that way. We're supposed to be Meshamish as Bari, and the rest of the world is Meshamish us. Including the Malachim. It says Olam Harishon, the Malachim made the barbecues for him. He didn't have to work. Soilinlai, as a boss of Mesanlai, is a Yayin. He was working in Meshamish as Koinoi. What he needs? Lots of Malachim, lots of animals, the whole world. The whole world was created the Shem Sheni. So what happened? Elo, Sheroisi es Maisa, Vikipakti es Panosi, Shenelo, and Sechemot. The terrible damage that Chet does So it messes up the mission. And then, after permanent damage has been done, or semi-permanent damage has been done, like by Chetal Amarishin, until Mashiach comes, it won't be completed, the process of taking on that. It doesn't work that way anymore. And that now, this chet has to be, chet did damage, it has to be fixed. There's din in the world, the whole world was din, like we learned many times. Right? This world was a world that gave the opportunity for us to be zoich and oil mahabi bedin. You did chet, you can't be mevater on. So you have to fix it. So it's either tshuva or yisuf. Or some combinations of the both. But there's a process, a cleansing process, that requires b'di'evet, that the Ben Olam Haba understands that in order to refine himself out of the damage that was done by Chet, and to enable him to come clean to Olam Haba, to clean out the damaged machines and to repair it, that sometimes you need a nituach. Sometimes you need to take apart the machine to put it back together again. Sometimes you have to go through difficult process. Yes, after Chet, and now there is necessary sometimes Va'inish and Kor Barzel, cleansing processes and refining processes, in order for the Olam Hazeh machine Lemurot HaChet still to produce Olam Haba untarnished, 100%, the Baruch Hashem never going to be satisfied with less. He wants that even though whatever we did, we're still going to come to Olam Haba L'mayir V'chus, but the machine was damaged. So then we have to pay the price. And there are difficult processes of setting it straight. And therefore, practically, there are times when Tzadik V'Ramah. There are times when a person has to go the B'di'evit route of sacrificing Olam Hazeh. Ad G'day, you see what's Nefesh Mamash, jumping into the fire, being burned at the stake. But those are not the Chilat of the Mahalchim. Those are the Mahalchim that Chet produced. Not the Mitzvahs produced, that Aveira produced. Now that the Aveira exists, there are times when, in order to produce Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba from Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh is going to have to suffer. Meikra din, when the machine's working properly, then the more Olam Haba produces, then the more the Olam Hazeh is good. But sometimes when there's damage to the Olam Haba machine, then in order for it still the Morota call to produce Olam Haba, then the Olam Hazeh has to suffer.
But for the Rishayim, that's not true.
Who deals with Rishayim now?
Here,
back to the Mishnah. This is the pshat. Sufficient for us, even though we didn't get to your kelach.
It's just the first part of this.
In ein teir ein kelach. In ein teir ein kelach. There's no tachlis. There's no toelis from Oisha. Only to enable it to produce Olam Haba, which the classical form of understanding of Olam Haba is teir. The ultimate form of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, the direct production of Olam Haba from Olam Hazeh is Toya. Inclusive in that, like we'll see in the next mission, is mitzvahs. Nice. Im ein Toya ein Kemach. Kemach is the Olam Haba mission. Kemach is Olam Hazeh. Im ein Toya. That's Kemach. That's why he doesn't say lechem. We'll just throw it all in. Lechem is a finished product. Kemach is the finished product that is used to produce a further finished product. You buy kemach in the store, then you take it home and you finalize it and make it lechem. Kemach is that is totally geared and prepared to prepare a bedel and final permanent tachlis, pratik. All of them has it, including the oisher, including the kina, taiva, and kovet, including all of the things that money can buy, imagined and otherwise. That all adds up only to kemach. You can never get more than that, because that's all it is. And what does kemach do? It only makes bread. Oisem has it, only makes oisem. Oisem has it, only makes oisem have. If a person has kemach, but he doesn't have the capability of turning into bread, he's going to starve. The person has all the oil and has in the world, but it's not producing oil and habo, he's going to starve. Oil and hazeh is kemach. It's a raw product that produces toyah. That's all it is.
Chita.
Why not chita?
I'm just explaining
that. Chita. Let's just stop here. Look what we do. The main kemach. Ain't toyah. The main Torah in Kemach, we'll take it as this, is explaining the dual relationship between Olam Haz and Olam Haba. It's being mechadish the chidush of understanding that Olam Haz and Olam Haba are not enemies. That Torah is dependent on Kemach is not a bidyeved. Because if we would have Torah that wouldn't be dependent on Kemach, he would give it to Malachim. And that wasn't the tachlis. The tachlis was to give them the order. The tachlis was to have a machine, an oilam hazeh machine, an oilam hazeh machine that looks like oilam hazeh. That's the only way you can do this oilam hazeh. But malachim could learn Torah tremendously, but they wouldn't produce any oilam hazeh from. That's the oilam hazeh that we need. Only an order where the Torah is connected and dependent on the kemach, and raises up the kemach and shows that the kemach is only to produce the lechmin, ein lechem el toyer. Ein kemach ein toyer ein toyer. Ein haze is ein hab. Ein hab is the culmination of the whole process of ein haze.
So this particular thing came at the end to show us that this is that which we would think is the most wide steerer. What did we gain here that we didn't gain in the other three cases? That this is the most powerful place where we could make the mistake?
Tremendous.
Next week?
We'll see. Maybe we'll bring it into the next measure. Amai said that you're right. Amai said you're 100%. There is a four step process goes over here. At first we talked about the Echeretz and the relationships between Echeretz and Torah. Then we went up a stage and we talked about Yir and Chokmah, which deals with when a person comes in contact with that goes against Chochmah and Yira. Then we are up a higher stage where we were above Chet completely. And we would deal quarterly in Muskolos. We were up in Shemai. Das and Bina. I took a trip up. Tremendous. Yeah. And then we wrapped it all up. Not that you have to run away from here to go there, but there comes from here.